I would like to call this meeting to order. It's the City of Palm Coast City Council business meeting. It is Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. It is 6 p.m. Please join me in the Pledge Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland.
Here.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Present.
Councilmember Branquino.
Here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Present.
Councilmember Howell. Mayor, all members are present.
Thank you. We're now going to move to agenda item number D, which is public participation. Per our rules and procedures, if you speak at the beginning of the meeting and take your 3 minutes, that will be your 3 minutes for public participation. It's not allotted 2 times during a course of a meeting. So choose whether you want to speak before at the beginning of the meeting or towards the end of the meeting. But you have 3 minutes. We ask you to please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Phyllis Robin Scheffler. In my continuing research, I discovered that the city manages beautiful multi-page weekly publication, extremely well done, covering aspects of city projects. In the issue of August, under the page designated for Jason DiLorenzo, Chief Development Officer, it outlines the appearance of compliance manager Jay Marr before this council, wherein he discusses the issues of an unlicensed plumber and an unlicensed electrician having done work and the fines that they had to pay. I ask, why isn't the issue of the fraudulent trio of the Costas and Don Guyaning of equal importance to this council? Our city manager, our chief development officer, the compliance manager, and even council members know the details. Why I can't be given the opportunity to discuss fully before the council members all of the information I have garnered regarding the financial losses to the city from the permitting department, as well as the harm that I have suffered as a homeowner. I cannot understand why the city is willing to look the other way with the Costa-Guyaning issue. Why isn't the compliance manager not following up? Why is he not following up when he filed with the Department of Professional Regulation many months ago? The complaint seems to be stymied because they can't find the contractor since he supposedly signed the permit to have the house that he's now building at 5 Cedar Court that the notary, Cindy Costa, illegally validated. I keep repeating this mantra, and maybe one day I will get the attention of the entire council. I've not been so lucky, and I'm spending my time. And as long as I have the time and the perseverance, I will continue to bring it before you. Because our city manager says he doesn't want the city inhabitants to suffer. Well, I'm suffering, and none of you are doing anything or not interested in trying to do something. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Then I will close public comment.
Just a couple words.
You can come up and speak at the podium. You have 3 minutes, and I'd ask you to state your name for the record. And your 3 minutes.
My name is William Gallick. And this is just in regards to the golf course.
Okay.
It's basically the bedrock of the whole town. It starts, the whole area was built around that golf course. I think there's plans for this rezoning and those large buildings. I think it's going to be out of character. It doesn't fit in with the whole, it's the most beautiful place in Palm Coast. And I got to hand it to the city here where credit's due is that, there's really good ratings going on, good reviews on golf course, Golf Advisor. And their reviews in the last, 4 years is 91.4% that golfers will, recommend this course. I think you guys did a good job in 10 years. I think this building is going to Those buildings will be the beginning of the end of it, if they are indeed built. And we're forming groups, getting some petitions, and we're going to oppose it in that neighborhood. And I just hope that the city could maybe try to figure out what we can do to keep it going the way it is, and it's, you know, the way it is now. And I think that's basically how everybody wants it. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
I wanted to bring to the city's attention, there are many issues with whistleblowers and code enforcement.
You have to speak your name for the record.
Mark Young. I'm a resident. One of the major problems in the actual enforcement of them, I believe the codes in Palm Coast are excessive and unfair in many situations. The reason for codes is to keep community beautification, but if they're going to be in place, then at least enforce them fairly for everyone. An enforcement officer should not be allowed to ignore other violations they witness in the area while singling out one house for a citation just because someone called on one and not the other. This in itself is a violation of basic human ownership fee simple rights and use of their own property. We are invoking our rights here today for the quiet enjoyment that is conveyed to every homeowner and renter. This is not an HOA community. Palm Coast is using this in a way that interferes with basic ownership rights. If these policies are to continue in this way, then the city should take this and a vote to the citizens on ballot. And if approved by the citizens, a majority of vote, then providing all citizens of Palm Coast with the appropriate facilities and appropriate parking for SUVs, motorhomes, boats, ATVs, and work trucks. The city, by law, should then enforce to provide every potential buyer, the real estate agents, and a copy of the bylaws, rules, and regulation prior to purchasing any homes in the city limits, just as HOAs. I understand we need some codes, but this is getting out of hand. We never had, nor did we ever vote on any rules regarding city regulations with code enforcement. So never being notified of a code change or a new code on the books has been extremely totalitarian abuse and power, lessening our rights of property, fee simple ownership rights. Back in 1998, when I had my house built in Seminole Woods, the owners were considering unincorporated. This was a main reason for buying a home I could afford at the time in this area. I didn't mind paying my dues to the city for being unincorporated. When we got notification in 1999 that the area is considered to be incorporated in the city, I had all my neighbors sign a petition to stay unincorporated, which at that point we were outnumbered by officials and northerners that wanted the city. We have been harassed by a few individuals that have gone out of their way to file anonymous, numerous complaints against us and many others in the community. Just last week, on one day alone, one person had 10 notices of violation for individual number 15133 on 10/29/19. It was one for an AC invisible from the road, weeds and flower beds. My neighbor down the received for the weeds that were referenced are native Florida flowers, and he was a 72-year-old man. Grass taller than the neighbor's grass. Certain grasses need to be taller in heights. Neighborhood working in his car in a driveway. We have the right to do that. Neighbor's camper parked in the driveway. One of my neighbors had a camper when it had his family members living there for a couple of days visiting, and they were noted. This is referred to as harassment. We have a right to face a whistleblower and our accuser. If the laws, rules are not being held across the board, then this is harassment by the city.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Carolyn Daly. I live on Sea Trail in Seminole Woods. And we have one speed sign at the beginning when you come off of Sesame. It says 30 miles an hour, and we have people screaming down that road, screaming. 45 miles an hour. I wave at them. I say, slow down. I'm either flipped off, or they slam on their brakes and they say, what's your problem, lady? And I said, well, the speed limit says 30. No, it doesn't. I said, yes, it does. Well, that's only for making the curve. If anybody is paying attention, Seminole Woods has blossomed with homes and condos and duplexes, and we have scads of kids, old people like moi, walking, riding their bikes, kids all over the place. We do have a sign that says Turtle Crossing. We have no children in the area, be careful, nothing along those lines. I find it reprehensible, and I certainly hope one of our little ones doesn't get splattered on the road because of somebody doing 45 or 50 miles an hour down that road. Also, we have a dangerous, dangerous curve on that road. And there's no sign that warns of a dangerous curve. There's no sign that says hidden driveways. And it's worth my life, my family life, and any visitors we have getting out of our driveway. I would like to see somebody, and I hate to say this, Palm Coast drives by all the time. Trust me, they're not doing 30 miles an hour. They're checking on buildings, and there's buildings going on like mad. We've got dump trucks. They're parked on the side of the road. People are trying to veer around them. It's very dangerous, and if you've got the time, just take a little ride up there. You'll notice that there are hundreds of people driving up that road. Our explosion in population has gone off the roof, especially in the S section and C Trail, and all our little roads on the side are inundated with traffic. I would hope you could send somebody out to take a check. I would appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else would. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comments. We will now move to agenda item number E1, which is the approval of the minutes of the September 11, 2019 budget hearing, October 15, 2019 business meeting, October 29, 2019 workshop meeting. Do I have a motion?
A motion.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Now move to F, which are our proclamations. F2 is a proclamation for Diabetes Awareness Month. I would ask everyone receiving this proclamation to please come forward, and Council Member Brinquino, please go down and present the proclamation.
Whereas the American Diabetes Association estimates that nearly 30 million people in the United States are afflicted with or affected by diabetes, and another 86 million are still at risk for developing type 2 of the disease over the next decades. And whereas having diabetes elevates the risk of heart disease, amputation, kidney failure, and blindness, causing serious hardship to four families across not only our country, but also our state and nation. And whereas diabetes screening and self-management education will help individuals in the recognition of the symptoms of diabetes and provides an opportunity to follow suggestions for living quality lifestyle. And whereas the International Diabetes Federation has established November 14, 2019 as a World Diabetes Day to educate citizens on ways to predict if someone is at risk for the disease, to help recognize the symptoms diabetes and to follow suggestions for living and quality lifestyle where they endure the afflictions. And whereas the City of Palm Coast and Advent Health Palm Coast together recognize that a growing number of diabetes in our community make a strong case for devoting more resources to helping to find the cure, provide screenings, education, and support the requiring lifestyle changes. And whereas Advent Health Foundation Palm Coast has formed the Diabetes Alliance. This alliance represents the City of Palm Coast, Flagler County Schools, Flagler County Health Department, Flagler County Free Clinics, City of Palm Coast Fire Stations, and EMT teams, many corporate and private citizens that are all dedicated to beating diabetes. And whereas the alliance will kick off November Diabetes Awareness efforts in Palm Coast by flying the Alliance flag, distributing diabetes resource bags, lighting up the town blue and logo campaign through the county to continue efforts to raise awareness and educate the community. Now, therefore, be proclaimed by the city, Palm Coast, and city council. Hereby recognize November 14, 2019 as World Diabetes Day and proclaim November 2019 Diabetes Awareness Month in Palm Coast to increase the community awareness, the risk of factors and symptoms related to diabetes in the order to improve the likelihood that people with diabetes will seek medical attention to avoid the devastating complications of the disease. Adopted this fourth day of November, attest Virginia Smith and the City of Palm Coast. Mayor Melissa.
Good evening. Thank you all so very much for this proclamation. As you have seen me here for many years now, you know this is near and dear to my heart. I will just give a brief update. I commend the City of Palm Coast for helping to lead this initiative and as a phenomenal ally in our Diabetes Alliance. I know that there was a testing day held on campus here, and I sincerely appreciate that. We did so at Intracoastal Bank, where I work as well, and I encourage all employers and individuals to get tested because knowing, obviously, is the first step in recognizing, you know, that you may need to seek further medical attention. We have come a long way in a year, and I'll give just a brief overview. We are determined to turn the town blue in the month of November. I do have free blue light bulbs in my car right now, if anybody needs any. But it is really, it affects 14% of our population here in Flagler County directly. And then you think of the support people around those who are combating that disease, and that's if they even know that they are. Most people don't know the signs and symptoms. We have made great strides in getting that information out. I have two allies here that will briefly take the microphone as well. But we do have those signs and symptoms posted in the virtual backpack for Flagler County Schools now, so teachers and students can also access that information. Obviously, our health department, Advent Health, are great resources, our free clinic as well, to understand what those signs and symptoms are. I will proudly say that we've distributed over 200 resource bags throughout the community in the last year to people who are battling this disease. That would include people who have been admitted to Advent Health at their campus, but also the free clinic, the health department, and all of the nurses at our schools now have resource bags to give out to their type 1 diabetic students. So we really are committed in a holistic way to approach this disease and want people to live the best, healthiest diabetic life that they can. Obviously, all citizens, right? But for me, it's personal because my husband is type 1. People who don't care for themselves, I can't imagine the frustration on the family of supporting those folks through those difficult times. So we want people to be as compliant as they can. We have partnered on our Facebook page with walking groups. We have gyms who've donated, 1 week trial memberships, hot yoga lounge. I mean, there's just a myriad of partners who are helping us combat this, not just from the clinical level, but if you don't know that there's a walking group in town center from 6 to 7 a.m. every day, you will now. So get up and move, eat right, be the best you can be. You may not beat this disease, but you can be the healthiest version of you and have a very long, healthy life. With that, I'm going to pass it off to our health department. I have Bonnie here from the health department who will share a little bit about their amazing program.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you for allowing us to be here today, and thank you for the proclamation. It is so important that we let everybody know about this serious chronic disease. It is something that we can help control. We can actually postpone the onset of type 2 diabetes with pre-diabetes education, and we can decrease the complications with diabetes self-management education support. And a year ago, we embarked upon starting a diabetes education program with one in three people have pre-diabetes, 1 in 10 have diabetes. With that number of people in Palm Coast that have that disease, you can quickly see how there just isn't enough education and support in the communities to help keep people healthy. It's not just what the physicians do, of course, with the Advent Health and what they're doing to keep them healthy up from their campus, but it's also what we do as a community. And as Laura said, we partner with the Parks and Recreation. We partner with all the clubs in the town. And we have also started doing screenings throughout the community to help raise awareness. So think about diabetes prevention. We are the only place in town right now that has a diabetes prevention program. We started in March. We have 60 people in our program with a master's prepared health educator, and we also have a diabetes self-management education program with our registered dietitian. And with that, I want to turn it over to Dr. Phyllis Wolf with the Free Clinic.
Thank you. It is truly an honor to be here to thank you and to thank our community for all the support for our people, our individuals with diabetes who are living with that every day. At the Free Clinic, we're able to provide education, medication, diabetes medication management so that these people can do better. It is sad to say in our day and age, as so many people are uninsured, are unable to afford insurance, even if it's available, and to know that we're there for them, that we can do that, is a beautiful thing. We get so much support from all these organizations, but to be part of the Diabetes Alliance is just an amazing gift for so many of our members of our community. I know that we're supporting, Palm Coast is supporting Diabetes, World Diabetes Day on November 14th. There'll be an event and people can sign up at the community center. So we're just so happy to be actively involved in making people aware of diabetes and learning about diabetes and how to take care of themselves. So thank you for all of your support and for having us here today. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. John Subers, Advent Health, and I'll close it out by saying, Mayor, you were here in our first vision with Laura and I of a fitness challenge, and you raised the first flag probably 4 years ago, and we're back November 14th at the community center raising the flag, exercises, Free Clinic will be there, the health department will be there, Empower will be there for fitness. It'll be a great morning, so please join us. Thank you all very much for this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Agenda item number F3 is a proclamation on Be Local, Buy Local Month. We would ask those receiving these proclamations this evening to please come forward, and Council Member, our Vice Mayor Clufis, will be actually presenting the proclamation.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Whereas the city of Palm Coast, Florida, is a be local, buy local kind of community, where we promote small local businesses and the contributions they make to our economy and community. Whereas our community receives a portion of three different sales taxes collected when we purchase goods and services locally. Last year, the amount of sales tax returned to the city amounted to $8.1 million, up from $7.6 million in 2017. And whereas this money helps pay for important community projects such as the community center and Holland Park, it also pays for street improvements, sidewalks, and more. And whereas if every resident of Palm Coast spends $25 at a local business on any given day, it would infuse $1.46 million into our local economy. And whereas on November 30th, as the holiday shopping season kicks into high gear, Small Business Saturday will be celebrated by many who are dedicated to supporting small businesses. And whereas, founded by American Express in 2010, this day is celebrated each year on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Since it started in 2010, consumers have reported spending an estimated $103 billion across all Small Business Saturdays combined. 2019 marks the 10th annual Small Business Saturday. And whereas, according to the U.S. Small Business Administration, most recent figures show there are currently 30.7 million small businesses in the United States. They represent 99.7% of all businesses with employees in the United States and are responsible for 64.9% of net new jobs created since 2000. And now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Mayor and the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida,
the month of November 2019 as Be Local, Buy Local Month, signed this fifth day of November 2019, City of Palm Coast, Florida, Mayor Melissa Holland.
Thank you. You guys want to accept your proclamations?
Absolutely. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for this proclamation. City of Palm Coast rocks, and I'm stoked to be here.
So. And name your local business that everyone can go
yes,
shop
I'm
at.
I'm Benjamin Davenport. I am Moonrise Brewing Company.
Yes. And
so, thank you.
Really, really good. Excited to have you here.
Fantastic place.
Yes.
Thank you. And he's worked very hard. Yes. I remember when it was nothing, and you created greatness.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Fatima Senna. I am co-owner of Empower Fitness, owner of Welcome Home Real Estate, and owner of Future Project, the Fawn Project here in the local community. I fell in love with this community 20 years ago when I moved here from the big city of Newark, New Jersey. I've been in love with this community ever since. I feel it's important to pour into the local economy just by providing services and having a place where people can congregate, meet friends, socialize, and just I feel like a lot of people lack that in this community, just places to go where they can do that. Empower Fitness offers over 400 classes a month. We've grown our business from 600 members just 2 years ago to nearly 3,000, and we're all invested and vested. We all teach, we all own, and we all bear the burdens of a business, like everybody knows here when you own a small business. We thank you so much for the proclamation. I wasn't prepared to say anything today, so I'm really just speaking from the heart and unprepared. But I just wanted to just say thank you, and we appreciate your support. And I hope to open more businesses. Who knows what tomorrow brings? But for right now, I'm just in love with this community and what it offers. Thank you.
Good job. Where from you?
We're from Newark. I'm from Ironbound, New Jersey, the Down Neck, they call it, right there from good. Where the everybody knows
that. That was my food. First precinct.
What? Okay.
Back in 1986.
Really? Were you a police
precinct.
Officer there?
Yes.
My husband, he retired from the Northern State Prison Corrections.
There you go.
So I'll have a lot of respect. Well, thank you. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Thank you. Agenda item number F4 is a proclamation for America Recycles Day. Council Member Cuff will be presenting. I would ask those receiving to please approach the podium.
Whereas Palm Coast recognizes the importance of protecting and preserving our natural resources and adopting conscientious habits that will improve our daily lives and bring about a cleaner, economical, and more sustainable environment. And whereas, although there has been a significant increase in the amount of recycling in Palm Coast to date, with the national recycling rate reaching 34%, we must also continue to focus on our initiatives such as waste reduction, composting, the reuse of products and materials. And whereas, by encouraging businesses, state agencies, nonprofit organizations, schools, and individuals to celebrate America Recycles Day 2019, we can further promote recycling as a daily, environmentally efficient, and economically smart habit. And whereas, state and community leaders can help encourage recycling by informing citizens about local recycling options, and they can also help foster greater awareness of the need to expand collections programs by promoting the benefits of recycling for the environment and all of its inhabitants. And whereas, it is important that all Palm Coast citizens become involved in recycling activities and learn more about the many environmentally friendly, recycled, and recyclable products available to them as consumers. It is also fitting for Palm Coast to celebrate America Recycles Day 2019 and take action by educating citizens and businesses about the recycling options available in our community. And therefore, be it proclaimed by the City of Palm Coast, Mayor and City Council, that November 15, 2019 is America Recycles Day. Signed this fifth day of November 2019, Mayor Melissa Holland.
Thank you.
Who's got the tennis balls?
This one's empty, actually.
I didn't realize that you could recycle those anyway other than having golden retrievers. I'm glad that, I mean, not that that's bad, but that's a good alternative.
Yes, well, thank you, Mayor and City Council members. First, I want to recognize Waste Pro for being our partner in recycling. We appreciate you guys so much. And then, obviously, we have a little prop here today. This is part of our new tennis ball recycling program that is sponsored by the Friends of Tennis. This is a new partnership, only a few months old. We've already recycled over 2,800 tennis balls. So they are repurposed into courts. They get cut up, and they can be made into new tennis courts and footing, also for horseback riding arenas and things like that. So it's great that we just... I'll put all the tennis balls in the box and just send it off to Wilson, and they repurpose them. So it's been fantastic and a wonderful partnership and extremely successful so far.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks to the City of Palm Coast. We are so excited to be part of this program. I am Agnes Lightfoot. I'm the president of Friends of Tennis, and we are an organization that's been around many years, maybe as much as 20 years, and we're always doing things to help the community. We did not realize when we started this program how successful it would be. It has really blossomed into a wonderful program. People all around town in Holland Park, at the Tennis Center, and other parks as well will put their balls, their used balls, in here. There's also another kind of container that's here in the City of Palm Coast that we are part of sponsorship. So once again, thank you for allowing us to do this. We're so happy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Great job. Agenda item number G5 is an ordinance. It's a first read. Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Mayor. This is an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Chapter 44, Traffic and Vehicles, Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast, to create a new Article 6, Through Traffic on Residential Streets, to regulate traffic in and on certain residential streets, designating certain streets as truck routes, and amending Section 2227, Schedule Violations. This ordinance provides for severability, codification for conflicts, and for an effective date, Mayor.
Thank you. Will staff be presenting, Mr. Morton?
I'll present. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council. This is the ordinance brought forward to, in concert with some other strategies currently being developed, to begin to ameliorate truck traffic, noise, hopefully vibration on Florida Park Drive. This ordinance was crafted in concert. We did take feedback and use some of that feedback, of course, of some residents in developing this, and also had lengthy enforcement conversations with Flagler County Sheriff's Office to ensure that what we put on paper actually will be enforceable. As we move forward, I do anticipate that there's a likelihood we'll come back with this at some point as we learn what our enforcement strategies are working and how this ordinance walks out. But here we go with a long-awaited, again, first step at solutions.
Great. Council, any questions or comments at this time before I open up to the public? Any member from the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G5, please do so at this time.
My name is Celia Puglisi, and I have to really appreciate that you're coming up with this ordinance. It's really needed in Palm Coast. You hear all the time what is going on with the traffic, and if the commercial heavy trucks can be rerouted through the major parkways, that is a great advantage to all those residents on original residential roads. I do have a question also. I live on a road which is off Clubhouse Drive, which has signs that says no construction trucks. I have seen three on a row just one day that I was with very heavy construction trucks, very heavy. Is this ordinance going to take care of streets like this one that has a no construction truck posted? Will those truck drivers will be fine also as well if they violate the ordinance, or if they are not doing local deliveries, of course, if they are just using as a through truck road, will they be also under the, and I appreciate this, that the city council, mayor, and Mr. Morton, and Mr. Pagotti have achieved for us. Okay, thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening, everybody. Mr. Neubach, R section, Palm Coast. Hallelujah, you finally got around to getting through this done in 2 years. Thank you very, 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 very much. Now let's look at the rest of the city. You have a lot of issues. You apparently just hired a new traffic coordinator. That's so he goes and makes it, because you're building and building and building and building, and the roads aren't getting bigger, bigger, and bigger to handle this. So please be careful, but thank you. And also, you're going to answer the questions at the beginning, public participation at the end?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Next speaker. Done. I'll close public comment. Mr. Morton, can you address just the question that Ms. Puglisi raised, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So in section 44302 of the prohibition section of this ordinance, it does define residential streets and the prohibition of heavy trucks on residential streets as related to traffic signage. As defined, one, any residential street within the limits of the city of Palm Coast, and where we have erected those signs that say no trucks or have a gross vehicle weight rating. So it is open-ended to address other situations in time if we recognize, but it is not a blanket ordinance for the entire city.
Okay. Council, do we have any other questions or comments on this ordinance? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G6, which is an ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Mayor, this is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast toward amending and restating the OARE Master Plan Development MPD Development Agreement for property consisting of approximately 1,013.36 acres, more or less, generally located south of State Road 100, north and west of Belterre Boulevard, and west of the Quail Hollow Subdivision. This ordinance provides for an extension to the timeline in which to submit preliminary plats in Section 5.1, along with housekeeping amendments for consistency with the Land Development Code. This ordinance deletes outdated references, provides for legislative findings and intent, repeals all conflictive ordinances, provides for severability, and provides for an effective date. Mayor, Council, this is a quasi-judicial matter. It is the first reading. If there have been any ex parte communications on this matter, they should be disclosed at this time.
Council, any ex parte communications?
No.
Okay. Mr. Morton, staff going to be presenting?
Yes.
Good evening, Mayor Holland and council members. I'm Ray Tyner, Deputy Chief Development Officer. This is a War Master Plan Development Agreement. This has some history for the City of Palm Coast. It was actually a really good planning concept for the Master Plan Development Agreement. It was one of the first what we call a continuum care facility. And what that means, this is actually located south of 100 on Belterre Parkway. And Mr. Hoover will provide those details. But it's a neat concept in that continuing care facility, it's an age-restricted 55 and over campus. So the concept is where you have single-family homes when you're 55 and older, and then you can transition into independent living. And then continuing care, if you need so, some health, maybe independent and independent living. So it's a big concept where you can live out your life from 55 till the end of your life. The market back in after 2008 was not too good in the City of Palm Coast, and we did have a time extension when it comes to platting on this project. So in 2014 they extended the time. As you know, Benton Village, part phase one, has already been built for independent living. And so the applicant is asking for another extension now that the market's a little bit better. Maybe they can, start developing out some of the other phases of the project. So that's basically what they're doing, is asking for another extension and also another minor change in the development agreement to be consistent with the landscape buffer on what we have on Belterre Parkway. But with those Senior Planner, Mr. Hoover, will have those details.
Thank you.
Good evening, council members, mayor, and the public. This was adopted as the OR PUD back in 2005 and then amended twice, basically for time extensions, which go for 5 years. The project essentially is a cluster development due to a lot of wetlands on the property. About it's 1,013 acres, and about 70% of the land is considered jurisdictional wetlands. It's approved for 724 units, of which 80 were built in the Princeton Village, located at the southeast corner of the project, right down in there. And there's also, it's approved for some commercial uses. Essentially, the development is clustered in the southeast corner of the project, close to Belterre Boulevard. The you can see a breakdown there. What they have remaining is 120 bed extended care facility, 504 independent living units, as well as those could be attached or detached, and then 20 single family lots if they want to do like estate type homes. Again, the extension would be for 5 years, which is the life of a master plan development. One of the changes is, it was about 3 years ago, the city updated the landscaping chapter, and we reduced the buffer on a lot of roadways from 35 feet to 25 feet, so they want to just match that in their updated MPD. Additionally, they want to update the type of landscaping to be it used to be called Xeriscape. Now the common language is Florida friendly, and the other items are primarily housekeeping type. In staff's analysis, it was determined there's no change in the entitlements. The project remains consistent with both the comprehensive plan and the land development code by it encourages development of continuing care facilities. It helps protect wetland areas by clustering, reducing setbacks, and using other innovative planning techniques. There's public infrastructure available to serve the site, and it would have no new impacts on the surrounding area. This went to the planning board on October 16th. No public comments were made, and both the planning staff and the planning board recommend that City Council approve application number 4112. Charlie Faulkner is the manager of the property, and he's here if there's any questions that you would have for him.
Council, any questions at the time, either for staff or for Mr. Faulkner? Any member of the public wish to make public comments on agenda item number G6, please do so at this time.
I think it's a very interesting plan. My name is Celia Puglisi. It's a very interesting plan. It's in the south side of Palm Coast. Now, as usual, my concern is that the city council and our administrative professionals look into that, what is going to be with the sewer system of all this development. You know, we have high water table. We are currently experiencing, as you know, some sewage problems on the old Palm Coast and on all these new developments. Are they considering that utility? How is going to be? Where is that discharge going to go? North, south, west? I mean, we only have two sewer plants in Palm Coast, as I understand, one up north and the other one here on Utility Drive. And I have a concern with that, where all that is going to go. and if it was considered on this plan, and also about the traffic, if there, there was a traffic study. But my number one concern is the sewer issue in Flagler County. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening again, Mr. Neelbach, our section. And I'm going to agree with the young lady that just stood here and talked about the traffic. That area, you've approved a emergency center. Within that area of Palm Coast, you've approved a medical center-type place. You're going to put in a hospital down by US 1, that whole area. Is going to have an increase in much traffic. Please do some real studies. Your studies are 5 years old. Your plans, I looked at them the other day. Date is 5 years of last time you looked at what you've done over the 5 years of building here in Palm Coast. If you don't do it now, you're going to pay a lot more later. Thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker.
Good evening, George Mayo, Palm Coast. My questioning here is the encroachment on wetlands. We keep saying wetlands, we do this and we'll use a borrow pit and exchange property. But sooner or later, we reduce wetlands, we reduce our aquifer. And maybe 5-10 years from now, another city council is going to be worried about we're going to have to drill more wells because of the reduction in our aquifer. So my question is, how much of these wetlands are we taking away, and why do we have to take away that much? The other is the buffer, wanting to reduce the buffer from 35 to 25 feet. Yes, it's been done before, but it all sounds well and good, and everybody here probably doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter one way or the other. But if you're living in the area, that 10 feet with trees and vegetation could mean a lot. And maybe, again, 5-10 years down the road, another city council we'll be having somebody come up here and say, well, let's change the buffer from 25 to 15 feet. So this is something we have to think about, not just for this project, but going down the road. I know it's been recommended. I'm sure you all pass it. But we have to keep this in the back of our mind, both our wetlands and our buffers. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. We'll close public comment. Ray, if you can address just those comments that were made, please.
Sure, I can. I'll take the wetland question first. This property has approximately 625 acres of wetlands. All of them are being preserved. The only impacts to wetlands would be maybe potentially for road crossings. So when this original plan came in, there was an assessment on all the wetlands and delineate the wetlands. They are only developing in the upland portion of the property. You know, having assisted living facilities and independent living and a continuum care facility, as far as transportation goes, it really is a low traffic generator. However, we did do a traffic study when the master plan development was submitted. And if a technical site plan comes in or when they do come in for platting, we update that. They are going to be required to get a professional engineer and work with our engineer, our transportation professionals, to make sure that the methodology and they are doing the traffic studies and we are taking care of the necessary improvements that may be needed as far as transportation.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Mr. Faulkner, I don't know you per se. Your reputation precedes mm-hmm. you as a fair and honest guy. And, you know, I've kind of been handling the homelessness situation and looking at that piece of property and whatnot, I'm thinking to myself, gee, that'd be a terrific place somewhere in that area for a shelter for cold weather scenarios, and also the possibility of looking at affordable housing. And sometime I'd like to just sit and talk with you about your concepts.
I'm happy to. Is that your comment?
That's it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Make the motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H7 is a resolution approving the final plat for Matanzas Lakes. Who will be presenting?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, council members. Yeah, this is a plat. It's the final stages of Matanzas Lake. You may recall it was a master plan development agreement, actually a private public partnership, whereas the Matanzas Lake subdivision created a storage capacity, a lake, within this master plan development agreement to provide more storage capacity for the city in the Matanzas neighborhood. So this is, the construction is about 75% complete, and this is the final plat for the project, and Mr. Hoover will have those details.
Matanzas Lakes, it's up there by our new interchange, and it's 28.6 acres in size. It's located about half mile north of Matanzas Woods Parkway on the east side of Laramie Drive. And it was actually approved under a little bit different name. It was called the Matanzas Land MPD, approved almost 3 years ago. And since then, the preliminary plat was approved. The infrastructure construction commenced a little over a year ago, back in 2018. And some of you may have been on the council at that time. But the Jim Collis was the developer at that time and the property owner, and the city owned a piece of the property in the middle of this, and so the city exchanged the property, and it exchanged back the city lake at the top of the screen. There was to be excavated by the developer at the developer's cost, and then in return, the developer could sell the dirt and of the city lake. And then on the right-hand side of the screen, where you see the waterway, that's like a canal that would come back down towards Laramie Drive in the southeast corner of the site plan, or southwest corner of the project, actually, since north is at the west, or the left on the screen. But the those facilities are 75%, as Mr. Tyner mentioned, and so the MPD allows 75% of the lots that front on the city lake or the waterway to be have a home built on it and sold off to a new property owner. The final plat shows 107 single-family lots. These are essentially, it's an age-restricted community with 50-foot wide lots. There's recreational facilities along Laramie Drive opposite of the kayak launch. And you can see there's a center stormwater track. The city lake is actually on the city property. It was about an 11 or 12 acre parcel. And the there's an attachment, it's Exhibit A to the plat, or the resolution, I'm sorry. And this restricts the conveyance or the sale of the lots in the green area on the right-hand side of your screen, since that'll be the last part they're developing, and then they'll finish up with the kayak launch. Two performance bonds have been submitted to the city and reviewed and found acceptable. One's for landscaping and irrigation work, and the others for roads, drainage, utilities, and sidewalks. Staff recommends that City Council adopt Resolution 2019-XX, approving the final plat for Matanzas Lakes, authorizing the mayor to execute the final plat, and the city manager to execute the agreement that restricts the sale of certain lots. We're here for any questions, and as well as the applicant's attorneys here, if there's any questions on that agreement.
Councilor, are there any questions or comments at this time? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on this agenda item, please do so. None, I'll close public comment, take it back to this council, entertain a motion.
Make that motion.
We Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H8 is a resolution approving a resolution of support higher education in the city of Palm Coast. I'll do an intro of this, and then if you want to explain a little bit more about the process. Okay. As many of you may know, have read, have heard, had discussions, there is a real opportunity in front of us as a community that will bring to a point of transformation in our downtown, our innovation district. We have been working collaboratively for quite some time now with the University of North Florida in an effort to expand a regional campus that would stretch all the way from the Panhandle down to Brevard County. UNF is excited about this opportunity for many reasons, as it offers not only educational opportunities, higher educational opportunities in the region. It elevates the university system overall. It's the first of its kind in the entire state of Florida, where we are taking a pipeline of students that we actually have locally, where we have a medical flagship in our school district. It partners with Daytona State College with an initiative to also highlight the dual enrollment program, their two-year, some of their four-year programs, and allows for bachelor's and advanced education to exist, grow, occur, but it also allows for research, technology, master's programs, PhD programs, those sorts of things that will come to play in the future as we grow this center and make us more competitive. So this truly is a very exciting opportunity. We do have some significant hurdles, therefore, to go through. Those hurdles exist as one of them is the Board of Governors that is appointed by the governor of the state of Florida. It's a governing body that was set up to manage the legislative financing aspect of university funding, whether it be faculty impacts, whether it be capital, whether it be growth in certain sector and areas that would provide a fruitful option for the state of Florida. The Board of Governors meets. They have met. They've had a strategic planning session in which this was unanimously approved. However, the full board will take action on the 19th, formalize this, and we are preparing to present before our legislative delegation with both Representative Renner and Senator Hudson to then carry this torch throughout the legislative session in an effort to secure the funding for us to be part of this very, very exciting opportunity. So this resolution is important. It's unique because I can't remember a time in Flagler County history when we have had a more collaborative effort and initiative with all municipalities as well as county government and school district all combined, as well as the private sector. We have a lot of significant private sector investment locally going into this with Elite Energy as one of our premier partners. We also have Advent Health as a significant partner. We have our school district. So our stakeholders have also come together. This should be a moment of pride that we all celebrate because it, again, at the end of the day, will truly be transformative. If you can please keep your comments to yourself, thank you. So, Mr. Morton, if you can talk about the resolution itself and then the next steps.
Is it the council's pleasure that I read the resolution?
Yes.
Absolutely. Let me read the resolution because it speaks for itself. And the city of Palm Coast was established on September 21st, 1999 through citizen referendum. The city has nearly tripled in size since then, and during this period of growth, it was declared by the U.S. Census Bureau to be the fastest metropolitan area in the country, and whereas, in order to sustain such growth and a high quality of life, it is critical that higher education opportunities be readily available to the city's residents and the residents in surrounding areas, and whereas a citizenry trained in high-demand fields will contribute to a strong employment market in the region, and such an outcome requires close collaboration between employers, educators, and local governments, And whereas employers and educators have identified the medical field as a fast-growing and a critically important market sector for the entire Northeast and North Central Florida region. And whereas in order to meet regional workforce needs and train the graduates of the future, the University of North Florida is undertaking a bold initiative called MedNex, the nation's first comprehensive university-based medical nexus. And whereas a major component of the UNF MedNex initiative involves the establishment of a presence in the city of Palm Coast, and whereas the city of Palm Coast desires to work closely with the University of North Florida and a host of other public and private sector stakeholders to bring world-class, industry-relevant educational opportunities to its residents and the individuals of Flagler County and adjacent counties, and whereas the governments of Flagler County, the Flagler County School District, the Town of Beverly Beach, the City of Bunnell, City of Flagler Beach, Town of Marineland, and the City of Palm Coast have come together in recognition that the UNF MedNex initiative elevates the entire Northeast and North Central Florida region, Flagler County, and the municipalities in Flagler County, and that this initiative is supported as a unified legislative priority. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City of the Palm Coast City Council of Palm Coast, Florida. The City Council of the City of Palm Coast hereby strongly endorses the founding of a state university system presence in the City of Palm Coast, commends the University of North Florida for its desire to serve as an educational partner for the region and its leadership in helping satisfy regional workforce needs through the MedNex initiative, and urges the Florida State University System Board of Governors, the Florida Legislature, and Governor Ron DeSantis to support the establishment of such programs as may be necessary to further these goals. You summed it up very well, Mayor. The Board of Governors process continues on November 19th with a final opportunity for any suggested changes by November 22nd, and then the legislative process begins. Thank you.
Well, do we have any comments or questions at this time before I open up to the public?
Just one comment. I think that once we pass the hurdles, which we're going to have some, I think I agree with you completely when you say that MedNex would be a seedy point of transformation, and it's a good way to go out. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it. I can add on that. Mayor, I know we've always agreed as a council that it's kind of an overused term, but the best export from Flagler County is our students, and this is going to provide an opportunity for that education to occur in Flagler County and Palm Coast specifically, and hopefully will offer occupational opportunities for the next generations to come. So thank you for all of the work you put into this.
Let's not export them too much. Let's keep them.
Exactly. Well, Lance. Yeah.
And just briefly, one of the most significant things I think that happened in Flagler County many years ago was Palm Coast's relationship with Daytona State, then Daytona Beach Community College, and having them establish a campus here, which originally was two storefronts at the Palm Harbor Shopping Center, which has since been bulldozed. But of course, they do have their campus on Colbert Lane and Palm Coast Parkway. So to me, this is a very exciting add-on and a continuation of that process. And if we want not just our town center or the city of Palm Coast, but Flagler County overall to really attract new professionals, but also keep the ones we grow here, I hate to say down on the farm, but down on the high-tech businesses, this type of project, I think, is absolutely essential to the city's economic future.
Thank you. Okay. I will open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H8, please do so at this time.
Jack Kyle, Palm Coast. What I'd like to know is, this entails several different counties. What is the opportunity for the children in this city of getting into the school? You know, when you got, I don't know how big the college is going to be, but you got children from 4 different counties, and we're the smallest. So what's the opportunities for our children? The same as anybody else, you know, or can another county say, well, you know, we're bigger, so we've allowed more children, right?
Okay.
And are they going to, well, I was going to wonder what the tuition was going to be. Is it going to be reasonable or the same as the regular colleges? Thank you.
Thank you.
Be at time.
Next speaker.
I think this is a great idea. Thank you for working on that. It's going to benefit the children in the school. I read lately that the kids graduated, and three kids graduated in high school, and they're going to work for $44,000 a year as firefighters in our fire department. So I think it is good that the kids can learn in this country, in this county, and they have the hospital for the practice. There is a great need on medical, on the medical field, especially about doctors, family doctors, and nurses. So I think it's a great idea, and I think it's going to energize. If it costs us a little money, everything costs, and we have to collaborate. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Mayo, Palm Coast. I think this is an excellent idea. I hope it comes to fruition. My question is, are any members of the council or the city manager or representatives also going up to that meeting? And if not, why not? I think there's solidarity in numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Close public comment. Jack's comments about, the local students. This is precisely how this idea was born. The medical flagship that currently is growing within our school district locally partners with other institutions like FTI, Daytona State College. They provide certifications that allow them to go on the ground floor to get the experiences necessary to become gainfully employed even with a two-year degree. Advent Health actually offers tuition reimbursement to those employed at the hospital to advance their educational experiences. They prefer students that have bachelor degrees to become employed at our local hospital. So this truly is a partnership. Yes, it will be open to students in surrounding counties, but we really feel the partnership that we have developed. Daytona State College has signed on. They've given a letter of endorsement for this project because they do want to create a direct pipeline from K through 12 to secondary education, to post-secondary education, to advanced education, and then ultimately local employment. But it also ties us into all the regional hospitals throughout. So we will be tied into Mayo. We'll be tied into Shands. We'll be tied into Andy Anderson. We'll be tied into Baptist Health. We'll be tied into Flagler Hospital. We've been tied into Halifax Hospital. All of these other medical entities have also been part of this discussion. So this really allows many more opportunities for our students to become gainfully employed in different aspects of medical, not just nursing, not just one component, but you have the technology in the hospitals that are desperately needed to fill employment. They have a spectrum of these job opportunities that are needed, that are open. And so without question, this is going to fill that need locally with our students locally that graduate here locally, and we're going to encourage them to continue to hopefully live here, reside here, and hopefully stay here. Thank you for your comments, Ms. Buglusi, as well, as far as, the other institutions moving forward. We're going to be continuing to work collaboratively. The other thing about the private investment, when I mentioned Advent Health, I mean, Advent Health in the proposal has offered to build the building. So they will be building the building for phase one of UNF to be here. Similarly, Advent Health has offered an investment when they're talking about rotations, those things that are not readily available now, minus a university system. And lastly, the part of the proposal includes a SIMS lab. So it will be a teaching hospital, an actual teaching facility right here that, again, advances that more of that competitiveness. So, you know, good things to come. And as far as collaboratively, if we are indeed lucky enough to get this through on the 19th, and then certainly we'll have a lot of work to do through the legislature. We're very excited to have such leadership, such as Representative Renner and Senator Hudson, throughout this process. And as you know, Governor DeSantis ultimately has to sign this. He's very familiar with Flagler County, as he was our representative. So a lot of opportunities that we've already engaged them legislatively, but we will have to make our presence known during the legislative session. We're all combining. We've had a great call with our city managers around the community, our superintendent, and they are all ready to engage, not only with our local representatives making the contacts necessary, but utilizing our lobbying, advocacy, partnerships, and relationships. So we will send an army to Tallahassee once this gets here in order to make this a reality. So, okay. Council, if there's nothing else, I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number I, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 are all consent agenda items. If any of the members of the public wish to make a comment on any of those items, please do so at this time. See none. I'll close public comment, take it back to this council, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number J is other business. 19 is an appointment to fill a vacancy on the Beautification and Environmental Advisory Committee. Virginia, you're going to take these two items?
Yes. So the first is one seat on the Beautification Advisory Board. There are three applicants, and please mark one and then pass your ballot back.
Eddie,
you
Wait.
Can't vote twice.
No.
This says Powell. This is you.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. This one must be
yours. Yeah, I guess.
This is the next item. This is the Beautification Board. We have three votes for Robin Mackler and two votes for Gene Nix. So I need a motion to approve the three because that's a unanimous vote for Mackler.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Okay, agenda item number J20, appoint four members to the Code Enforcement Board. Virginia?
This is the fun one. This one is a couple of step process, so we'll first appoint three to the regular seats for the Code Enforcement Board. Mark a check next to three on this list, please, and then send them back.
Okay. one should be from four?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. It is council policy to approve someone from each district. There is several candidates from District 4, so that you have a representation from each district. I would suggest picking someone from District 4, but that is solely council's decision to make.
So council, because it is a policy, one of the three should be from District 4 in the applications that we're choosing. So two others would come from other districts. Does it matter, the other two? They're all filled?
No. Mr. Carruth is currently on the board, as well as Mr. Arcomone, and both had requested to be reappointed. And then all of the other applicants have applied as well. Mr. Dodzik is currently an alternate to the position, filling in, and he would like to be appointed to the board.
Thank you.
So I have three for Ken Carruth, three for Arcomone, four for Dodzik, two for Vince Sullivan, two for Vaughn, one for Lucy Davis. So there is
need to
a majority
make
for,
the for ones, four and three.
Carruth, Arcomone, and Andrew Dodzik.
Is there a motion to that effect? Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously.
Okay, the second part of this will now be to appoint two alternates, because we did appoint Dodzik to a regular board. The first one, though, I will give you a ballot for Marcia for Covita Gray. She was an alternate seat, so we will need to choose one alternate on this sheet. And we will not include Carruth, Arcomone, or Dodzik. Yes. Vote for one.
Virginia, I think you gave us one extra. Is that okay?
Probably mine.
Okay.
I wanted to put our names on this.
Yes, please.
Shoot, sorry. Check mark.
Not have a unanimous one. I had two for Chagnon, one for Coleman, and two for Sullivan. I will hand these back. Just go in the next column over for round two.
I don't have a majority. No, but which ones do you have? I'm just curious.
I had two for Chagnon, one for Coleman, and two for Sullivan.
Okay.
So in the blank spot to the right of the square, just put a check next to your person. Round two. Majority.
They could just go crazy.
Okay, I'm not over here, but that's okay. Okay. I'm square. Okay, we have three for Vince Sullivan, one for Sutton, and one for Chagnon. I would need a motion to appoint Mr. Sullivan as the alternate.
Make the motion.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, it passed unanimously.
And the last one is going to be the alternate seat of Andrew Dodsick that you appointed as a regular member this evening. We need one, but do not pick Arcomone, Dodsick, Sullivan, Carew. Thank you.
Thank you. Nope, I got an extra one again. We got an extra one again. Okay.
Just one. No Arcomone.
What?
No Arcomone. Oh. Who'd you pick? My own. Okay,
this
got it.
Here.
Thank you.
Joe Bonatz.
Yeah. Those two were appointed, so you never don't do them. Sorry.
No, I meant this one, sorry.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I did the same thing. Majority for Mr. Chagnon, one for Coleman, and one for Sutton.
So, do I have a motion for Mr. Chagnon?
Yep.
So, seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Agenda item number K is public participation. This is an opportunity at the end of each meeting. If you've not spoken at the beginning of meeting, for public participation, any member has up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record.
Do we need to do anything?
That's perfect.
Jack is mayor.
Jack Cowell, Palm Coast. The county is going to build, or they're deciding to build, a police station, or whatever you want to call it. I'm just curious, does the city have any kind of an input on how the building goes or where it goes, on how high it is? Do they have to come to the city to get permits like a regular builder does? And what are we doing with that, the Sears building on Palm Coast Parkway? Is that going to deteriorate and rot away? You know, if that was a private house, right? You'd be all over it. So does the county get special privileges because it's the county? Or just, I'm just curious, how much do we have to say about what the county does in Palm Coast? Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Evening, everyone. Dennis McDonald. Came to talk to you about the plans for the golf course and also for the marina. There was a meeting a week or so back. Was well attended. I've seen a number of different numbers quoted, but just to let you know, I've got two separate individual sources that told me they counted the seats, and there were well over 200 people there at that meeting. So I didn't want that to be diminished, even though it seems like there's reports that there were less people than that there. So I'd also like to preface the conversation in saying that my comments here tonight are hopefully going to be taken in consideration of a brand new council and a brand new city manager, because I lived through the golf course fiasco with the first round, and the taxpayers in this city got hammered. We ended up buying a golf course without a driving range. It's, to me, kind of like buying a car without windows. And so I can't understand how that possibly could have happened other than there was some predetermined plan down the road as to what was going to go on. So I just wanted to say that there's a lot of public participation in this. You haven't seen it yet, or you just seen maybe a little bit of it at the meeting, but there's even more. There's a big pushback on it, and I have to tell you that as far as I'm concerned, and many of my neighbors are concerned, and many of the other people in the area, this is far from being a done deal. So we are prepared to look into all avenues on this, and we're going all the way back to the original plats where the entitlements start. So you also will remember that this particular community had had at the time, and I don't know that there's ever been a larger one, but the Federal Trade Commission whacked ITT, the original developer here, with the largest settlement that had ever been done up until 1985. Now, I'm sure there's maybe been one that's even larger ever since then. So the interesting thing is that what this does is this creates a verifiable point what was being offered to this community at the time and what we all expected and what we need to get. And so I have done some research on a preliminary basis. I finished it up this afternoon. I can tell you that all this happened when the city took ownership of the golf course. We took ownership of the golf course, and it was supposedly for a dollar, but we ended up paying $7 million or more for having to fix the golf course. We're well invested, and I just want you to know there'll be more to come on this, and I'm hoping that we can have a very positive dialogue. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. I realize that y'all have a lot of ordinances that protect developers, that protect the city, and the truck ordinance, which protect all the neighborhoods. I really appreciate that. But we need some more ordinance that will protect residential neighborhoods from excessive traffic growing to a point that it's really harmful to the residents. So why can't we get some ordinances that would say that if the traffic grew to this amount, that we can use traffic calming methods to help reduce the traffic in those neighborhoods? I just think that the city needs more ordinances to help protect neighborhoods. It's just silly that we're going to keep growing and keep growing, but not protect our residential neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. I'm Lou Vitale. I just moved here a year ago, and I live over in Covington Park, and I discovered I'm now going to have a multi-story building complex adjacent to me with all sorts of interesting new things, such as traffic, impact on our infrastructure. There's a host of things. And I was somewhat surprised because I really liked Palm Coast when I moved here. It was really cute, very friendly, did a nice job in laying out the city. The golf course, although I don't play golf, is absolutely beautiful. All right, perhaps I should to reduce some of my size. But nevertheless, I'm somewhat stunned by what's going on, and I question what's really going on. So what happens is that I have joined with Dennis McDonald and others. We formed an organization. We're going around collecting petitions. I'm seeking to get 1,000 signatures. You go, well, how can he do that? We will do it. Okay, we're not for this. We're not happy about it. Everyone I've spoken to is about 85 to 90% of the people support our position in the communities that I speak to. And I just want you to know that aren't you lucky I moved here? Lou Vitale, thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Robert McDonald, Palm Coast. About 2 months ago, came to the city and I raised a question about my favorite subject, Palm Harbor Golf Course. And at the time, the mayor usually answers all the questions. Sometimes you don't like the answers, but she does answer the questions. Well, this particular night came and she didn't answer the question. So after the meeting, I politely, professionally asked the mayor why she didn't answer the question. And her response is, I don't have to. Okay. So a couple of weeks back, Vice Mayor Kufis was running the meeting, and I raised the question about the golf course losing approximately $140,000 in 2019. And Vice Mayor Kufis's comment was, well, we're doing good. We're just about breaking even. Well, I don't know how to understand how you can be $140,000 in a hole and still be breaking even. So I started to think that if I gave Mr. Morton and the city $140,000, what could you do with it that you can't do now? Well, let's see. Chief Forte wants to buy a new ladder truck and he needs equipment. Well, we could give him some money. And I'm quite sure Sheriff Staley could use $140,000, and maybe we could put more cops on the street. And maybe we could lower the taxes and pay for things that we can't pay for because we keep dumping, and I mean the city, keeps dumping at least $150,000 to $200,000 a year into a golf course where we could use that money for better purposes. We could give it to charity. We could do something with it. But to keep, now, from what I understand, the city has acquired this white elephant back in 2001 or 2002. I wouldn't even want to know how much money we've lost or given or been upside down in the last 15 years. I know how much we've lost in the last 4 years. It's over $1.5 million. Now, it doesn't matter who sits up here. Some of you have been here for that 3 or 4 years, some have not. It's time to stop the bleeding. Give the money to where it's really needed, not to a golf course.
Comments, next speaker.
I am speaking on favor of our golf course. It's the amenity we bought here for, and we spend money on every single other things in education. We pay for education. We pay for sports, where everybody uses the parks, and it's great, and they use the tennis courts, and they use the volleyball courts, and they use all kinds of courts in our free parks, and we pay for that. Now, the golf course and the tennis court pay a membership people to pay to play on it and sustain it, help the sustain of it. At least we get some money when people pay to play on the golf course or on the tennis courses. In all the other city parks, including the great complex, sport complex in the school, nobody pays for anything.
And we use and we like the courts, which is very expensive. We all pay for that. We pay for the maintenance of all our many miles of beautiful walkways. And I am for the golf course to continue. No. What I'm going to ask the city, very pleased, is this. This project that's been presented to the city with new, five buildings on the area of the golf course, please, I'm asking the city officials and our administrators to use on the leverage or the workouts with the developer for a way to keep our quality of life that will be affected with this new housing in the middle of the golf course that we oppose, because I live close to the golf course as well. And you have done a lot for the golf course, and we appreciate it, and it's needed. Thank you so very much for whatever you can do regarding that issue. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Yes, George Mayo, Palm Coast. First thing is, I just ask that all our council members and people on the dais, when you speak, please bring the microphone a little closer to you. Many times the voices don't carry, we can't hear, they aren't close enough to you. I don't need headphones like Jack yet, but I'm getting there. One thing that Mr. Howell had brought up one time, I think is a problem, should be looked at, probably have us contact FDLE, is seeing trucks, tractor trailers, seeming to avoid the weigh station and cutting down through Old Kings Road, Beltaire. I've seen many flatbeds going down Beltaire Boulevard where I live with industrial equipment that I know there is no way possible they are servicing the neighborhood with that industrial equipment. So they are obviously circumventing the weigh station. So maybe we could ask FDLE. I don't know if the sheriff's jurisdiction, but probably FDLE. The other thing was about 2 weeks ago, approximately, there was a multi-tractor-trailer accident on I-95 south of Palm Coast Parkway that shut down 95. And I happened to be going north on Old Kings Road. Well, the traffic light at Town Center Road and Old Kings was backed up over 2 miles and getting worse as I was going north. So in situations like this, where obviously the Sheriff's Department and the 911 Emergency Center must know that the road is shut down, can we speak to the Sheriff's Department and possibly send out the COP officers, maybe to those intersections, and manually work the traffic lights to reduce the traffic, because you were getting 4 or 5 cars and trucks through and then a stoplight. So in situations like that, whether it's that, I'm sure there's a couple other intersections through the city that we can work with them and say, please go out there and keep traffic moving. There's nobody any good when you have a 2, 3, 4 mile backup. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Now, I'll close public comment. Mr. Carroll's question about the Sheriff's Operations Center, if they are looking at being housed within our jurisdiction, the same rules and codes and everything else applies, permits apply, everything else. So there are no special exceptions. As far as the Sears building, I can't really speak to that. That clearly is a county issue, but if it's an issue that is not in compliance with our codes, then we do take action. And I know that Mr. Morton meets with Mr. Cameron regularly and has conversations about that. So if there is something that is to be brought up, we will bring it up. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate them, as do I each and every one of the presenters as well. To George's question, maybe you can speak with Commander Williams to see if there's an opportunity to bring in a different agency to work on that issue.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, now we'll move to agenda item number L, which is discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Councilmember Cuff.
Nothing other than to echo what I'm sure you'll hear from other council members, but it's very nice to see our mayor back here, despite the splendid job the guy on your right was doing in your physical absence, although we knew you were working hard. Even remotely.
Thank you.
Other than that, I have nothing this evening.
Appreciate it.
Councilmember Tranquillo.
Nothing other than you are always here.
Oh, thank you.
You are always here. Thank you. That's it.
Yep, absolutely. Welcome back. I'm glad that to have you back, and I'm looking forward to moving issues with the city forward with you at the helm.
Hey, it's good to see you back. A couple of things that I've been working on, and I've talked to our city manager, and I would like to explore the possibility of adding a GPS tracking unit on the golf carts at the golf course so we can have better accountability of who's out there. Additionally, if there is an incident that happens out there, a medical alert, then we'll know exactly where they're currently located. So that's something we're kicking around right now. Finally, the letter, the recruiting letter for businesses in the aviation field was mailed. That included a thumb drive with our ad and a trinket or two recognizing Palm Coast. I think we gave them a magnet and we gave them a luggage tag. So hopefully we should hear something here. I've got my fingers crossed. Now, I want to talk about something else. This is your weekend for Veterans Day that's coming up there with the idea that you had for the barbecue, and that's great for veterans recognition. But I'm going to pass something to you here, and I want you to look at this, okay? This is probably the first time you've ever touched one or seen it. This is my personal Purple Heart. And I want you to look at it, and I want you to look on the back of that. This medal was awarded or created by General George Washington, and at one point it was the only medal that we had in the United States. And it's an important thing. You look at it, it's a piece of metal, it's a picture of George Washington on it, and there's an inscription on the back, and it's a piece of material. But, you know, I look at this, and I look at, as my career as a Colonel of Marines, I go back, and the military should be, and normally is, the last tool that is used in the toolbox of foreign diplomacy. When you let us out of the box, people are gonna die on both sides, but it's gonna happen, and I'd like to be on the winning side. You know, I'll let the other guy die for his country. That's a good thing. However, in my career in combat, I've been shot at by automatic weapons, AK-47s, I have been the recipient of incoming B-40 rocket rounds, artillery, and mortars. Yeah, I got hit. I got hit at Quezon, 1968, almost died. But I fooled them. You can't kill the lizard. The lizard continues. That being said, though, I've also seen many of my fellow Marines fall in combat. And they didn't get up. It wasn't a movie set where we'll do it again till we get it right. Now, because this is Veterans Day, I want to bring up a subject that we've heard before, and that's about the USS Liberty. Now, the USS Liberty was a spy ship, per se. It had all the electronic surveillance equipment on it. You've all heard the story. And it was in the area of the Sinai Peninsula up in doing research, or I should say reconnaissance, on what the Egyptians and the Israelis were doing back in 1967. Well, they were attacked by the Israeli Air Force and the Israeli Navy. Now, I'm not interested in the politics. I see enough of this crap in D.C. when all of a sudden everybody's doing this. Not me, not them. The bottom line is, 34 people on that ship were killed. And 200-some were wounded. And the Congress does not give this out unless you've been in a hostile zone. And that doesn't talk about accidental. Well, you know, that's the thing now. Because of the politics at the time, the Johnson administration didn't want to upset the Israelis. There was a mistake. But I'll tell you this. When you're on the incoming end of a round of rocket or 20-millimeter cannon or whatever, it's not an accident. It's deliberate. And I know that fact of the matter is that we've had this thing, the beautification committee approved this, but our former city manager and his demented idea that, well, this was an accident. Nonsense. It was deliberate at the time it happened. And I firmly believe that we, as a city council, because this is Veterans Day, owe it to my Purple Heart colleagues to have that statue or that plaque placed next to the Purple Heart Memorial. And I say that not only as a wounded warrior, but as the president or the commander of the local chapter of the Military Order of Purple Heart. So I want you to think about that. You've touched this, but I want you to think about the lives. And God help anybody tells me, well, it was an accident. Nonsense. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. And thank you for your service.
Very good.
But thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Right on.
I would just like to add a few comments. I really appreciate this council's attention while I was absent. I really want to thank Vice Mayor Clufis for serving in the capacity. It's really been a very challenging time for myself and my family, and I'm pleased to say that you know, my daughter has received a liver. She has gone through a transplant, and today she took 4 steps for the first time. So,
yeah. Well, wasn't she a cat the other day?
No,
didn't I see her as a cat?
So this community really came together in a very exceptional way that I will never forget, and quite frankly, nor will my daughter. And I am very proud to represent this city, but I'm really, really proud to be part of such an organization that just brings forth such professionalism, that does not miss a step, and our residents who are truly passionate, as you can see tonight, about how much they care about the city of Palm Coast. So, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Thank you. So, okay. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing to report, Mayor.
Discussion, city manager.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Mayor, city council, members of the public. I have one item because I have to tonight. Pursuant to the purchasing policies, an emergency exemption exists when conditions might adversely affect the life, health, safety, and welfare of city employees or citizens of our city, when city property or city equipment is endangered, when it is necessary to maintain or restore vital services, or situations arise which may cause major financial impact to the city should immediate action not be taken. In the case of an emergency of that nature, the city manager or designee may authorize certain imminent needs purchases. Those delegated the authority to implement emergency purchases are authorized to waive the bid process with that authority, and a report listing all of those purchases shall be submitted to the City Council. You will find in your packet tonight in item 21 a short list of emergency purchases to that effect. They don't happen very often, which is why I'm reading that section tonight. And we have lost my agenda. One moment. We had 5 emergency purchases to be presented to the council, 3 of which are related to the near miss of Hurricane Dorian for sandbags. 1 for sandbags general, 1 for 72,000 sandbags, and 1 during that time for an AC unit in a generator building. Emergency repairs to a fleet asset and emergency pump repairs, and those 5 items are detailed in the packet. Thank you.
So no action, just a presentation.
That is literally just a presentation to let the council know we do stay within the budget. We do not expand the budget, but those are emergency purchases authorized, and they should be presented to the council and the community as such.
And did you also want to discuss the calendar?
I was getting there, yes. We're working hard to reconcile the calendar as we move into the next 2 months in the holiday season. We are not ready yet to understand fully with a few last-minute items and important year-end business items. As of today, we are looking at canceling the 12/27 workshop 2 days after Christmas, only because we don't have any items scheduled for that. What we're trying to present at the next workshop, the next meeting, will be a comprehensive schedule so the community can be aware of meeting times, dates, any facility or city hall closures, and council also will have an understanding of what is proposed to be on the forthcoming schedule. Thank you.
I move for adjournment.